Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next episode of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Lisa, and we just basically came off of a whole weekend of workshops in Chattanooga, Tennessee at Yoga Landing. And each time that we do a Heartbreak Kids podcast, it's basically going to follow the workshop. So each place that I travel to, I'm going to do one of these podcasts, and Lisa is the person that I'm doing in Chattanooga. So Lisa, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And so what struggles do you have?
I struggle with fear and doubt in my own abilities, in my practice, in my daily life, you know.
It's something that comes up regularly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so how does the practice help you, kind of like adjust to that?
It keeps me grounded. It connects me back to like my purpose and what's important to me. So being obviously just a better human overall, but like being a better wife, a better mother to my children, a better friend, a better teacher to my students in our community. Because as you've said before, I can be a hot mess. So
I might have said that today.
Yeah.
For the audience listening, I may have said that today in the Mysore room.
Maybe a couple of times today and several over the weekend. But yeah, so like the practice definitely keeps me from becoming a hot mess. Without it, I unravel pretty quickly.
And so you use it to kind of manage the fear, or, I mean, is it manifest as anxiety or
yes,
any of this stuff?
Both, yeah. Both. So, yeah, I have anxiety a lot. It's gotten better over the years, especially because of a dedicated practice. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's always there.
Is there a reason why anxiety always pops up?
I mean, there's probably several reasons. Insecurities, the fear and doubt I've already mentioned, you know, whether that's in a physical asana or just something in life that comes up that I'm unsure I can handle on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I see that in your practice, you know, that definitely comes up from time to time where there's resistance mm-hmm. to moving forward.
Yeah.
That's like a consistent thing that pops up, whether it's like with back bends or any of this stuff. And some of the best ways to like teach you is to actually be mean to you.
Yes, it's true.
It's just like really pointed feedback because it's the only thing that gets you over like the stuff that's going on in your head, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it might be why you like me actually.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But also, I mean, hate me at
right.
the same time.
You're a really good teacher for me for those reasons for sure, because you won't let me start with the stories or the bullshit or whatever. You know, you shut it down and you push me, you know, to like not even go there.
Yeah. Well, why are those stories there in the first place?
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot, especially over this weekend, because we've got to talk a lot, you know, a little bit about the anxiety. And I'm not really sure, you know. I think it's been something that's been going on for quite a while. I mean, since maybe I was a teenager. And I think there's maybe some personal stuff that I've avoided. And this weekend I've kind of like, you know, went back and been reminded of stuff that it may be related to. And so I think in the days and weeks and months to come, then...
Did you ever have panic attacks though? Like, was it full-on panic attacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to have to take, you know, anti-anxiety medicine, and I mean, it was that bad,
it was a thing.
You know, like,
yeah, so
spoon me and let me breathe.
So I guess the best question is how did you take what was going on in your life, and how did you apply, or you had all this anxiety stuff happening, but how did you take the stuff that was on your yoga mat and translate it into, like, it helping you out during those periods of time?
I guess like maybe like that story I talked about the other day about that message, that mirror that kept showing me the I don't wanna. That was one of the first big things I think that came up.
Because you were saying like several times.
Yeah.
Like over and over and
over. It started showing up really on my mat with like Kapotasana. And that was a pose that I could do fairly easily in the beginning. But then like I kind of like created a wall with it. And even before I got on my mat, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to do it, you know. And it was hard to even get started. And then little things started popping up, you know, like on that Facebook timeline thing, and it was a status update from like 10 years ago. It's like, Lisa Davis is, I don't want it. And I'm like, holy crap, how long has this been going on, you know? And then something else. And then I just started like seeing all these things, and like, there's so many things over the years that I've been like, I don't want to, even if they're amazing things. It's just, I've been scared, or I haven't been able to think that, you know, I was able to do it, or whatever, you know. I didn't want to go there, even if it was a good thing. So I think that was a big red flag for me. And so I started like, you know, paying attention to the moments where I didn't want to, and trying to decide the reasons why that was there.
Yeah. Yeah. The resistance is there because like it's scared.
Yeah.
Like it's scared to move forward. Like you're comfortable where you're at,
right.
or maybe you're uncomfortable, but you're comfortable with the uncomfortable stuff that is there.
Yeah.
And so it's, that definitely plays the key. And that's also like the reason why I teach you the way that I teach you. And like, part of it is like understanding, like, you know, being a teacher is understanding like who the audience is, or who the person is that you're speaking to. Because then once like you understand like who you're speaking to, then you can kind of, excuse the pun, but like tailor the message to that person. And like when I first came to Chattanooga, I mean, we were just talking about this, but you couldn't bind. Like you were, you know, I mean, it seemed like you had practiced yoga, but you were just kind of getting into Ashtanga yoga, and you were, you know, there was a bunch of things that you couldn't do, or drop back, or bind your hands, or whatever it was. And then like to see you now, like practicing, you know, all of primary series, practicing all of second series, and like, you know, starting the work of like picking up the third series. Mm. And that's like not a long time.
No, it's not been long.
So the craziest question is like, what have you learned, like, you know, because it's all a journey. Like, what have you learned, like, during that practice?
Well, obviously, I'm learning to deal with that fear and doubt.
Sure. But what else?
There's
got to be more than it, just than fear and doubt.
Yeah. I'm learning that I am capable and worthy of so much more. I think when I first started practicing Ashtanga, I felt like I wasn't worthy. I felt like, in a way, that I wasn't broken enough. I mean, and I know we all are broken in some ways, you know, but like, I mean, like comparison to your story,
right,
or like other people's stories, you know, and like what this practice had done for them. I'm like, do I even fit in here, you know? And that's just like in a personal aspect, you know,
yeah.
But then like knowing that I've always fallen on the weaker side of the spectrum, I feel like, you know, and looking at some of these poses and things, and in comparison to like life, you know, and I just didn't feel like a strong person. Like, I will never be able to do this pose because I'm so weak, or I'm not strong enough, or whatever. And that's the mirror for like just my life off of the mat as well. So like, I think I've grown, you know, and knowing that I can do these things no matter how hard they are, no matter how scary they are, no matter how much I doubt myself, no matter how weak I think I am, like, I am strong, you know, and I'm going to continue to grow and learn the lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable to sit there and watch, you know, especially because I've got to see her growth, and you've pointed it out from time to time, like that you don't necessarily feel like you fit in, but I mean, I feel like I should point out that like you're somewhat of the ringleader. of a lot of this stuff. Like, you're an important person in, like, you know, my community, as well as like Yoga Landings community and all this stuff. Like, yeah, you are one of us.
Yeah.
And we don't need to judge each other by the, like, you know, how broken we are, you know? And, you know, so if you start comparing everyone's trauma, it's right. Like, you know, it's like, well, I'm not that bad. It's like, no, well, wait a second. We care about each other because of, like, the good things that are going on in our lives, you know? So, like, our community is, you know, of course we all have trauma, just like what you mentioned, but there's also this level of we like each other because we have common interest and we all want to live better and differently. I mean, all of that stuff. And so I think it's interesting because that story that you just said there about, like, not fitting in is the same thing that happens with me. And I got hundreds or 1,000 people that are around me. And I say this to myself consistently, like, I don't fit in or something.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah. I think in the beginning, like, when I first came to Ashtanga, it was like I had broken up with a past. And so I did feel really lost and disconnected during that phase. So, like, yeah, over the years and that new beginning, like, I have begun to feel more like, you know, yeah, these are my people. Like, you know, I fit in. I feel accepted. Like, you know. It's different now. But yeah, in the beginning, I felt very lost and just wasn't sure that it's where I belong.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, you're not the easiest student to teach.
Why?
Does that hurt your feelings? I mean, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. You're not the easiest because, you know, there's something about, like, reciprocation. And so we're kind of alike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Lisa are kind of alike. And so I don't like sugarcoat many things, you know. I only sugarcoat something if I know someone's going to be very sensitive about it and, like, break down and cry. And, like, you know, Lisa, you're, like, very sharp as well.
sharp
maybe
and sharp, sassy.
Maybe sharper than I am.
Oh.
And you're definitely sassier than I am. We kind of call her the sass queen, but anyways.
We do.
But you're not the easiest person to teach. And so I'm wondering what you feel like is not only the best strategy for someone to teach you, but, like, what is it that you really need out of a teacher?
I think what you do works really well. I mean, I need someone to hold me accountable,
okay.
To, like, shut down the stories and not allow me to, like, play that dialogue, you know? Like, I need somebody to, like, I mean, so many times you're like, just go, just do it, you know, when I'm sitting there trying to stall or, like, because the reel is playing in my mind, you know, whether it's, you know, stalling.
Yeah, a lot of times you're trying to run or something.
Right, yeah, and I've had teachers that, you know, won't do that, and I won't go to my fullest potential, or maybe I don't skip poses or anything, you know, but I'll take some time and you don't allow that. And it's like you were talking about in the workshop the other day, you know, like, it's your job to just, like, not even let us go there.
Yeah.
And you do that really well with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's what you need from a teacher.
Yeah, I kind of regret saying that now.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because you're going to really dial in on
I mean, there's some people,
public.
I mean, they, you know, the, like, the expression, like, you know, some people have short leashes or whatever, you know, like, I know your mind speaks a lot to you, and it's loud sometimes, and, you know, it's the same thing, you know, recently when I was giving you, like, the backbend assist, and I was, and, you know, Lisa was, like, catching her ankles, and I said, if you come up, because she kept on, like, you know, the whole week, like, you're busting out of your ankles. And I was like, if you come up, we're going to start over. So you better stay down. And then all of a sudden, like, what had happened?
I stayed and you moved up.
Right.
And I stayed.
And you chilled.
I want to run. But then sometimes there's been situations where, like, I guess I've went a little too far in my mind. And I think I've even told you, I just need a minute, you know, like,
in that
like
tone
shut
too.
Up, I got it, you yeah. know, like, let me just chill, catch my breath, and I'll do the thing.
Yeah.
I know, I gotta go, I gotta do it. But like, yeah, so it's a fine line there. I mean, it's good, but like sometimes if it gets a little too much, like I just need to quiet it on my own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thank you for giving the audience the full sass, you know, so you're giving full sass that this is what she does in the MISO room, which it's cool, you know, like each person's different, of course, and like they come with different things or they come with different stories or they come with different traumas or they come with different, you know, relationships with their spouse or any of this stuff. And, you know, it makes for a different person that's standing at the top of their mat for everyone. And so you just happen to be one that, you know, is sharp. You know, so, and I don't mind it because how I need to be taught is to be held accountable as well. I'm good at holding myself accountable now, but in the beginning I was unable to.
Yeah,
I was totally unable to. So let's talk about your teaching. And so, you know, how do you feel about like, how have I supported you and how have you like kind of come through that whole learning process of like being a teacher in the room? Because yeah, I mean, how long have you practiced for? You practiced vinyasa for 10 years or something?
It was a while. I can't remember exactly how long now.
And then you practiced Ashtanga for the last 5 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and that's where like the not feeling like, you know, I fit in and felt lost. It was like a breakup, I tell people a lot of times.
Breakup with what?
With like, everything. Like, so the practice, so I practiced power, vinyasa. The studio I practice at, the people, the community I practice with, the teachers, you know, everything. And so the first time you came to Chattanooga, actually, I'd been having this Ashtanga itch, even though I didn't really even understand what it was, but that something was calling to me about it. And my husband bought me a membership to Yoga Landing, but like the timing just didn't work out when they offered it. But then you came and you were part of our teacher training, and that was kind of the beginning of the end right there, I suppose. I struggled, you know, to like get there. It was winter, it was cold. I was attached to my comfort still, like having coffee with my husband or sleeping in or whatever. And so gradually over time, you know, I started getting in the Mysore room, but it was really hard because, yeah, I was breaking up with all those things that I just mentioned. And so I finally like realized, you know, this is causing me suffering and this is what I want. And if I want to like, you know, make that jump again, fear and doubt of all those things, then I just have to go for it. So,
yeah, you were pretty eager when I was here, you know, the first time, and I got introduced to you, and I was like, oh, like, you're definitely an Ashtanga person, and, you know, and part of it is because, like, you know, I think sometimes, like, your fear and anxiety, like, shows up as, like, controlling, and so, and for some reason, and maybe this is a generalization, but Ashtanga seems to, like, you know, attract people, like, a little bit. You know, because we like to know what we're doing and we like to be able to like see our progress and we get to all of that stuff. And for some reason I saw that in you know, like immediately.
Yeah.
And you took to it right after I left.
Yeah.
You know? So it was pretty amazing. And so what about your teaching? Like, you know, so how long was it that, you know, after I came the first time that you actually started jumping into the Mysore room?
It was probably maybe 9 months, okay. Something like that, probably. And then once I'd been thrown in the vinyasa pit to teach, which I never really felt like I would want to do. And it was terrible, especially with my anxiety, my fears, my doubts, all those things that we've talked about. It stressed me out so bad. I'm like, there's a million different things going on, you know, there's so many distractions, there's heat, there's music, you know, somebody's flipping up into a handstand and going to hurt themselves or whatever. But then when, you know, I jumped ship and started teaching Mysore, it was amazing. I'm like, it was like flipping a switch, you know. I'm like, I love this. It's quiet. I can focus on the individual. And I felt, it felt natural to me.
Yeah.
But given my personality, I suppose, I think I was a little too eager. And I think maybe the way that worked for you teaching me was kind of an only way I knew, especially being like so young, mm-hmm. As a practitioner and a teacher, that my sharpness and sassiness was a little too high.
I said that to you once, didn't I?
Yeah,
you said... You didn't like it.
Yeah, he was like, you can't always be sharp and sassy. You have to, you know, have more tricks. So since then, you know, like, you know, fine-tuned it a little bit. And I've learned, you know, like... And I've seen you teach. I've had more experience with you, you know, in your visits. And I come to Columbus or whatever. And you don't teach everybody the same, you know. Right. And so I take that in consideration, like, people's temperament and personalities and... all that, and know like there's different ways to teach people, and you know, you need to push certain people, you need to back off from others, yeah. Let people have their space, and so that's been tremendously helpful, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to have more tools in the tool bag,
right.
Instead of just sharp and sassy,
yeah.
And I like to be like sarcastic and sharp, you know, or actually sometimes I'm blunt, you know, maybe not
yeah.
sharp.
Somebody called you Taylor Blunt the other day.
Who?
I think it was Josh.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give Josh a hard time. But so, yeah, I mean, but straight to the point, mm-hmm. you know, and so sometimes that doesn't best serve the people mm-hmm. like around you. And just like sharp and sassy doesn't serve you or serve everyone. And you start realizing that, you know, different people need different strategies. Mm-hmm. And so like I've seen you grow, and I've seen you kind of like, you know, like basically change into becoming a leader in the room. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because this community's growing, too, as
yes.
a result of, like, I don't know, maybe everyone being on the same page and kind of, like, expanding their toolbox.
Yeah.
Full of stuff.
It's great. We have a great community. And I think, you know, Hillary teaches alongside me, and I feel like we balance each other out really well.
Yeah. Well, she's super nice.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're super nice too, but I mean, it's the same thing. It's
right.
like how you show up is not how Hillary shows up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, although you're a mom, she shows up like a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. She shows up like a caring mother.
Yeah.
And you show up like you're cracking a whip. You know.
I'm a mom at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, people get more out of their practices. You know. I mean, just think about if I coddled you all the time.
Yeah, I would not grow.
Yeah. Like, you know, I said in the workshop that, and, you know, maybe this isn't the best thing to say, but I was talking to a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people about, like, my teaching style and Ashtanga yoga. And I was like, you know, you can teach people with an olive branch where you're basically, like, offering peace and loving and caring. Or you can teach them with the tip of a bayonet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a tip of a bayonet is, like, that's pointed at, that is, like, some pointed ass teaching. And
yeah,
it's like...
Yeah.
That's what you offer.
Yeah.
And so it's the same as me.
Yeah.
You know, you do the same thing as me.
Yeah. I mean, last week in Columbus at the intensive, you know, you talked about when you do that, you're just trying to create a new pattern, mm-hmm. you know, and that was really profound for me, you know, because, I mean, I've never thought that it was from a place of like trying to really be mean or ego or anything like that. But like, that's what you're doing, you know, like we kind of get set and comfortable in, you know, a pattern or our ways.
Right.
And you're just trying to like break us from that in a way to.
Sure. I mean, you know, like
find
how
some
you
growth.
Right, well, I mean, how you get rid of impurities in gold is that you heat it up and you pound the shit out of it. Yeah, it's serious. And so it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like, you know, beating people up or any of that stuff. It's just that, you know, in order to get rid of the impurities so that we can live like a true and purposeful and passionate life where we're not worried about what the other people think of us. We're only worried about like our own well-being and how to be the best version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what, you know, some people... That's what they need,
mm-hmm.
you know? That is exactly what they need, and that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, it should never come from a place of ego.
Yeah.
Or it should never come from, or me holding power over you. Like,
right.
That's not what this stuff is about.
It's never felt that way,
yeah.
You know? But, like, when you said it that way, I'm like, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a teacher can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the most powerful thing about a teacher is that they can help you overcome obstacles. That you might not be able to, or it will take you longer in order to do it. Because, you know, a teacher's job is basically to to help you dispel the darkness, you know? And so when you talk about like guru or teacher or any of this stuff, it's basically like taking the ignorance or your old patterns and becoming something different as a result of it. And like all of the people in the intensive, which, you know, a couple weeks ago, they all grew within that whole week mm-hmm. of just like that intense focus and like, you know, presence. So it's really awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the work of my life.
Yeah.
That is what
you're really good at.
That is the work of my life.
Yeah.
So it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome. And so what'd you learn about for the intensive? Like, what was the biggest takeaway for the Ashtanga intensive?
I think it was just overall a good reset for me. I try to see you, you know, several times a year, but in the time in between, I mean, from the beginning, you said that I could get lazy, you know, and that tends to happen, you know, when I don't get to see you regularly, and I think it was good, you know, to just like spend some more time with you and like work really hard and again, like know that I can break through these like barriers and these walls that I've like, you know, built up in my mind, and just continue to make progress, on the mat, which transfers to off the mat, same kind of things.
Yeah. I had this like thought during the intensive about your practice specifically. I was like, oh yeah, she's stronger than she thinks she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was just like a moment where I remember, and I gave you some poses and you were like, more, you know, it was like just kind of a, what do you mean? And I was like, yeah, she's capable of handling so much more.
Yeah, I continue to learn that lesson, I feel like.
Yeah.
Day after day, for sure.
Yeah, and you're getting so good at this stuff.
It's practice.
So why do you keep showing up? What's the biggest thing? I mean, we talked about your fear and anxieties and stuff like that, and maybe managing it, but like, why do you show up every day? Like, what's the why you do it now? Like, what's the thing?
I mean, I think I like the challenge.
So you like the effort that it takes, the hard stuff?
I mean, I like the physical aspect, but like, I mean, it's the mind training as well. Like, I think that's a bigger challenge for me than a lot of the physical stuff. I mean, that's what's getting in my way when, you know, I'm stronger than I think I am. You know, it's not my physical body that I'm doubting, you know, it's the mind that's telling me that. Yeah, I think that's a big one. I really like, you know, doing the work with Trini and Cadis, and I want to be able to share that message more. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm obviously not in recovery, but like just trying to like relate to them, you know, and explain, sure. You know, like I have struggles too. We all have our own shit, you know?
Right.
So like letting them know how the practice has helped me, you know?
Sure.
Supporting the
community.
I mean,
because it helps normal people, it helps addicts, it helps, you know, people with disease or any of this stuff, like everyone in between.
We all have our own stuff.
We all got our stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone's a heartbreak kid.
Yeah.
You know, we all got our traumas, right?
Yeah. I think a lot of times I show up for the other people around me, like these days. You know? I mean,
because
I love
the practice?
Yeah. I love what the practice is doing for me, but like that's helping me show up for other people, my family, the Yoga Landing community, the Cadis community.
Before, do you think that you didn't show up for them, or you just like didn't feel like you were a part of it?
Probably both.
Okay.
I mean, I think I've worked on myself enough that, you know, like now I can spread myself, you know, out more where I can like show up for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I actually had this thought in my practice where it was like, I was maybe at the 5 or 6 year point. And this happened in my recovery as well, but it happened in my teaching where I was like, if it doesn't get any better than this, you know, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm perfectly okay with it. And I remember like becoming more and more open and like getting really clear, like with my passion and like what I really wanted to do with my life, mm-hmm. and was teaching going to be the thing that I do with my life and all this stuff. And I was like, if it doesn't get any better than this, like I'm okay with it. Because I mean, just the Trini Foundation work, for example, like going into your Cadis place or a place in Columbus where I might teach, you might walk in and it's like one of the hardest classes that you can teach. Mm. I mean, it's super hard.
Yeah.
But when you get done, there is no thing that feels as good as like being of service to another person.
Really, truly.
I mean, I walk out of there, it just gave me like chills, yeah. because I walk out of there and I'm like smiling ear to ear because I'm like, holy crap, I just like really helped the community out. Like, yeah. the Columbus community. I'm sure you feel it in Chattanooga.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I mean, even if I go in there and have had a bad day or whatever, sometimes you go to work or to teach or whatever and you're just not feeling it, mm-hmm. But by the time I leave, I'm like, this is the highlight of my week every yeah. week. I've never left, feeling like, well, that was a waste of time.
I know.
Like, yeah, it's done. Amazing. Yeah. And I love them so much. And I've reached out to you. I'm like, oh my God, I love them so much. I'm so thankful for you to like offer this to them and yeah. to me as well.
Yeah, it's really yeah. amazing. Yeah. Thank God for all the donors that like are basically supporting us mm-hmm. continuously. We've raised a lot of money with it, but I don't even know if people understand like what that feels like, to walk out of there and someone who doesn't have anything to their name, only thing they have is like a yoga mat, and like a bed to stay at Cadis or yeah. at one of our places. And you walk out and they're like thanking you from like the bottom of their heart. They're just like, I thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elizabeth joked, she was like, Lisa and her fan club, because they do, like, they come up, and they shake my hand and tell me thank you, yeah. Or they have questions or whatever. And so, yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing. It's actually really good work. So you feel like you get a lot out of those classes?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, I do
too. I love it.
They fill the cup up.
Totally.
Yeah, of gratitude, and they give me perspective on the things that I'm doing and all that stuff. So I'm wondering, is more teaching in your future, or is there other things in your future, or what are the kind of things that you're moving towards? Because it sounds like you're getting clearer and clearer of like the stuff that you want to do with your life, and like your kids are getting a little older now and
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah, my kids are. They're almost grown now, so they'll be done with me pretty soon. So I guess I need to figure out what I'm gonna do. But like, yeah, I love teaching mm-hmm. At Yoga Landing and at Cadis. I definitely want to continue to do that. I would love to go to Mysore, India. Yeah.
Well, you got to practice with Sharat, right?
Yeah, I did last year.
And what was your experience like with that?
It was awesome and also terrifying because I did lead intermediate.
Which is very hard.
Yeah, it was very hard. And I did it at Stanford, which was amazing, but a very small group.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess the first day for lead intermediate, there were under 50, maybe 40, 45 people. And first pose, Parshasana, he starts kicking people out, and with me having anxiety, oh God, that was very, very terrifying. And then by the third day of lead intermediate, like, there was maybe 30 of us, so you couldn't hide anyway. Yeah. It wasn't like New York or
right
where there's hundreds of people. Yeah, so though it was awesome, of course, but yes, it was definitely a test of the nerves and the mind, but
how'd you think you did?
I think I did great. Yeah.
Did it inspire you to maybe, seek going to Mysore and stuff?
Yeah. I've always, wanted to go to India before even Ashtanga like played a role in my life. But then, yeah, that experience sounds amazing too, to get to practice with all that energy. Under Sharat's eye, at the main shala. I know I've already thought about it, you know, like that's going to be pretty nerve wracking too. But like, even though these things, you know, like stress me out and make me really anxious, even practicing under you sometimes, you know, like when we haven't seen each other in a while, that first day is like very nerve wracking. But
for
some reason, I keep coming back. I know because it's good work. It's good work for me,
right.
my mind, obviously my body, my soul, you know, so yeah. like. Yeah.
It seems like, you know, every once in a while you avoid me.
Yeah. There was a period where I'm like, I'm good. I don't want to see you, you know, right now. No offense, but like I'm just digesting what I have and they don't come back around. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely continued to grow and continue continue to practice. You know, you're also, there's some people that like totally pull on me and, you know, they need it. Like you talked about accountability, but honestly, I'm not having to motivate you to get up and practice.
Yeah.
You know, that comes from inside where, you know, sometimes like the people that are kind of like, you know, energetically like kind of like pulling on me are people that are struggling with their practice and stuff. And so I appreciate that because, you know, it's hard to be motivational for everyone. And,
right.
and you've taken responsibility of yourself and been like, I want to practice because I'm getting new stuff and different things and feel different about myself and things like that. So,
well, I think one of the first times I came to Columbus, I didn't really, I mean, I was so new to the practice. And you like reached out to me and like, let's go get breakfast or coffee or something, you know? And I was just like kind of blown away. I'm like, what is this? Like you care about me, you know, my practice, and like, you're going to actually take time out of your day to like, you know, support me. And yeah, I don't like really pull on you a lot, but I think that was like a big deal. And I even told you, I'm like, thank you so much for, you know, because I mean, like in the world of social media, like, I mean, how many followers do you have now, you know? Right. But like, I mean, like, who am I? Like, you know, and you're like this world-renowned teacher, you know, and you're like taking time to like support me. And I think that was enough, you know? And so I know like, I don't have to like reach out to you for every little thing. I know you're there if I need you, you know? But like, yeah, that was a big deal. And that helped support me a lot. I think probably more than you realize.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
No.
Yeah. Well, I also don't think of myself as world famous yoga teacher and any of that stuff, but, I take care of the people that are around me.
Yeah.
So, or I try to. So, but thanks for saying that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being on the Heartbreak Kids. I appreciate you kind of sharing your experience a little bit about my teaching and your teaching and just kind of like where you're trying to go and like what it's helped you. But thank you so much for being on the show and thanks for being a student. Thanks for supporting me and everyone around us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.